You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker Kanye West, and the Swami Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel, Minister of Sinister.
What's up? Thank you so much for joining us tonight on this December 21st. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and welcome to Fatal 4-Way Radio. Got the phones lit up. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected. Albert, how's it going, bud? How you doing tonight?
Oh,
welcome back.
It's going amazing, man. It's going great. I'm telling you, man. Well, welcome back to you too, man. We've had a rough few weeks on the show, haven't we? But
Christian's been
holding it down. Kevin's been fucking holding it down. It's been a little weird without the sound effects, but here we are. Full show. The four horsemen of the show, and
there you go.
We're gonna have a good time tonight, God damn it.
Sure, man. Thank you so much. Welcome back, dude. So glad that you're back with us. And of course, you were back last week, but I was burning the midnight oil on the grind, if you will, on the grind. And then before that, I had been sick. Man, let me tell you guys, it all started that same night that I believe Kevye had a gig that night. Some party, right? The 13th, I think it was.
So.
Yeah, I had a gig in Victoria that night, and but I had came down with something, man, something gastro-like, man, and on the like a couple of days before, and I was all worried that I wasn't gonna be able to do the gig and shit. I was looking for someone to do the gig for me. I couldn't find anybody. I was like, fuck it, I gotta go do the gig. I went and did the gig on prayer alone, guys, and good food. And good food, by the way. The guy that was catering it, he was from San Antonio, Urban Smoke. You can check out that business. He provided us with some great food out there, some great vittles. And let me tell you, man, for that day, like I said, it was prayer alone, man. The gods were with me. For that day, I was able to move all my shit around. I didn't have any fucking pains in my gut and shit. Came back Sunday, because as luck would have it, they even rented me a room for Friday and Saturday night. So came back Sunday morning. And was on my way back and shit, and then picked up some Wendy's, you know, at Victoria, and then here it comes again, man, the pain.
Oh, no.
And I was down for like a whole week, guys, and almost even broke me, man. I mean, holy shit, dude, everything is so expensive when you have to go to all these appointments and these tests and tests and more tests and then people to read the tests and shit, but fuck it. I'm here. We prevail. Christian, thank you very much for holding the show down, for holding the fort down, if you will. What's going on, partner? How you doing? Thanks for holding it down, man.
I'm doing great, my brother. This week is fucking Christmas. Can you believe it? Already we're in Christmas.
Already. It went by pretty fast, man. That's how it goes. You know, but let me tell you something, bro. The older you get, the faster it goes by. Mark my words on
that.
You will come to realize that one day. You know, God damn, that motherfucker was right. Here I am getting older. Shit, that shit just flies by now. You'll think about that in 20 years, my friend. You sure will. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Peacemaker, Kanye West.
Yeah.
What's going on,
bud? What's up, guys? Merry holidays to everybody. I was gonna say that I like any kind of show that has like the Christmas episode. So I'm really glad that we have a show where we can have a Christmas episode, because like like you get like, except for WWE, they always seem to screw the pooch when it comes to Christmas time. They're the
oh yeah,
especially this week. Especially this week, Friday Night SmackDown. I already read the spoilers for it.
No, I'm just glad that everybody's together for Christmas. Let's knock it out.
Yes. Everybody's together. I mean, we're going around the campfire. Yes, go ahead.
He's already airing his grievances tonight. Now, we got a lot of problems. We got a lot of problems with the pro wrestling companies.
Yeah.
A lot of problems with Vince McMahon. And tonight you're going to hear about it.
Oh, hell yeah. There you go. That's great. Real good impression
that's
there.
Right.
that's what we're doing tonight, man. But first, let's get to the birthdays, if you will. And by the way, tonight's show being brought to you by Cereal Milk. I don't know if you know what that is, but that is some good shit, man. Cereal Milk. Look for it in a store near you.
Isn't that like the milk that's like soaked in with the cereal and it has the flavor in it? Or like,
Yeah, baby. That's what it is, right there. So today being the 21st.
That reminded me of Stone Cold ad with the milk. Remember the Got Milk with Steve Austin? What a badass.
Oh, yeah. That was a great campaign.
They should have got Dan Severn to do Got Milk. But
Dan Severn? Did someone say Dan Severn?
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have been able to hold the milk on his mustache.
You know who the perfect guy to do the commercials was Kurt Angle, because that was his whole thing, right? Like, instead of drinking alcohol, he was drinking milk.
Oh, yeah. Kirk Angle. But, you know, they should have used
Naked Midian.
Now, that would have been a good choice. Because Kirk Angle, I mean, he's always been an addict. I mean, how could they even, I mean, like, he was just fooling everybody the whole time with that persona. I mean, don't get me wrong, he was still a badass, and nobody can ever take that shit away from him. He won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. Who the fuck does that?
Because he drank milk. He drank a lot of milk. He was drinking that milk, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. He was heavy duty. Heavy duty Kirk Angle, by the way. And yeah, that's cereal milk, man. Let me tell you, man, so tonight's birthday is Christian. Kick off the song, buddy. Oh, by the way, a few weeks ago when I wasn't here, it was a sickness, I heard Kevier kick off the song. He did the song, and you know, because Christian was directing the show, so Kevier, I think it was only and Kevier that night. So let's have Kevier's rendition. What the hell? Do you mind, Christian? How about Kevier brings us in and Christian takes us out?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Kevier.
Bring us in, Kevier. Yeah.
Okay. Have a holly jolly birthday. No one gives a fuck about it. Especially Christian. Have a holly jolly birthday.
Oh, hell yeah. That's badass. Kevier West on the intro tonight. Nice. Absolutely. The Christmas theme on the intro there. Sweet, beautiful, wonderful. I love it.
Kevin, that brought a tear to my eye, Kevin.
Thank you.
That was very soul filling.
Yeah.
For on the spot. And if soul filling is not a word, then I'm gonna make it a word right now. Soul filling.
Yeah, make it a soul filling word.
You can fill your soul with a lot of things. For instance, you can fill your soul with Kevier's wonderful voice. You can fill your soul with hot dogs and fucking mustard. You can fill your soul with alcohol and some of those games. Thank you.
You can fill your soul with the glow, too.
Okay. Since I'm getting so much praise, I'll just let y'all know real quick that I do have big plans for 2022 to actually record a Christmas album. Me and my friends and family, we're going to record a Christmas album, and I'm sure I'll be promoting it more, but this is the first song that you've heard of it this year.
We're going to hold you to this, Kevin.
We recorded How the Grinch Stole the Grinch theme song this year, and it came out really good, so I want to do more.
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
That was great.
Yeah.
I watched the whole
one.
That was
Mr. Grinch.
Yeah.
The Hollers. We love the Hollers here.
To take a while to come back down, pokey doo. I sing that to my chick. But I digress. Guys, birthdays. Yes, thank you, Kevier, for the reminder there. So, Mauro Ranallo, 1969, 52 years old for Mauro Ranallo. Primo, is he still doing the wrestling business though, Mario? Did he move to another company?
I think he's doing boxing or UFC stuff now.
Okay.
I don't know. I hear his voice. I hear his voice in boxing matches, so I think he's doing boxing.
I see.
Yeah. He's been picking up. Yeah.
I think for a while he was in MLW or something like that, but I'm not too sure. Don't quote me on that. Primo Cologne, also on the 21st. He's one of the Cologne brothers that, like, they were on TV for I don't know how many fucking years, and nobody knew why. Him and his brother, they were both up. Nobody fucking knew why. Do you guys know why?
Man, when they were the Matadors at first, I was about it. When they were the Matadors, El Torito, I was about it.
Oh, yeah, I love that shit. That was great shit with El Torito. Oh. When they had El Torito, that was good shit.
But they were good. It's
one single word, Minister. Nepotism.
Yeah.
You know, so because they're related to, Carlito and the other Colognes, and maybe they owe each other something.
Yeah.
You know what, guys?
Yeah.
I really liked him now as the Lotharios. Never mind.
Stop it. They bumped up their gangster
as the
Lotharios.
The guys that are on TV now are such a cookie cutter copy of these guys, dude. And it's like,
man, they really are.
Kind of took offense where I was like, dude, look at these guys. They're just straight up copying Carlito, or not Carlito, but Primo.
Who?
Yeah.
Which is weird because they're a ripoff of Carlito, the Colognes, who are also a ripoff of Los Guerreros. So they're ripping off each other.
I think they were different, but I don't know. And it's like, it's hard to say, but it's like WWE just using them the same way. They're not necessarily stealing the characters from each other, but they're like definitely using them just like they use those guys.
Oh, yeah, damn it. Put him in Primo in there.
But he's probably having a good birthday. And those guys work with doing their own wrestling company and stuff, right? The colognes, like all, they still do all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I have no idea.
Vince is like, put in Primo in them. But it's not Primo in them. It's, a whole new other guy. He's just unaware.
What was the other guy's name? Primo. I remember Primo.
Lotharios, dude.
Epico.
Yeah, Lotharios.
Epico. Yeah.
That, I mean, that's an epic name, though. Epico.
Somehow he was more boring than Primo. I don't know how it was possible, but somehow he was more boring.
No, but Los Lotharios, and nobody could ever be like the original Jose Lothario. And if you look up that
Jose
word, you look up that word, it means like a sex god or some type of shit like that.
Okay.
Jose Lothario
and
then Black Gordman when they were together. I mean, that was one of my favorite. I was little, guys, like about maybe 5 or 6, and these guys were some badass fucking heels together.
I love it.
Albert, you were saying?
Speaking of Jose Lothario, right, I told the story on this show maybe like, and I didn't tell it all the way through. I was missing some minor details, but I was speaking to my brother the other day, and he actually clarified the story about Pete Lothario. I'm sorry, not Pete. Pete Lothario was Jose Lothario's son. Who still an active wrestler somewhere around here in Texas. But the story was that my uncle, right, had gone to a independent show like in the late 60s or early 70s, and Jose Lothario was working as a heel at the show, and it was the funniest thing in the whole world because he was like my uncle would always tell me the story when I was a little kid. When we'd be watching wrestling, he'd tell the story to my brothers. Every time he'd come over, he'd be like, you know how I know this shit's fake? You know how I know this shit's fake? And then he'd tell us the story. And the story goes is that Jose Lothario came in, this is like the late 60s or early 70s, right, came into town and wrestled some fucking BFW or wherever the fuck they used to have shows in Beeville back in the day, and cut a promo on white people and gringos, because there was a lot of gringos, and it was like fucking like talking shit, like he was like, I hate you fucking gringos, like blah blah blah, just trying to get some like really bad heel heat, and supposedly he did, and of course he lost in the main event that night. Well, later that evening after the show, they all go out to a burger place, and it just so happens that my uncle takes his kids to the burger place, and that it just so happens that Jose Lothario is also there. And there Jose Lothario is with his gringo wife and his gringo kids, as my uncle used to say.
Oh, shit.
And then it exposed the business to my uncle.
Oh, man, beautiful.
Damn.
Oh, fuck it, maybe. They were at Giant Burger or K&N. I remember those old places.
Yeah, they were after the show. And he said he was going to call him out, but he didn't want to. And he was like, ever since then, my uncle was like, fuck that shit, it's fucking fake. Like, it was like a revelation to him. Like,
oh,
that's how crazy
man,
shit
it ruined
was.
It
that's
for
how
him.
That's how K&N
some
was
people,
fucking crazy, does it?
Some people felt so betrayed. I've heard that before, where like when they realized wrestling was fake, it's like a betrayal. And it's like that old school people,
yeah.
Older people, they're like, oh, when I realized it was fake, I stopped watching it.
Especially since that meme online where there's a fat guy in a gymnasium crying, this is so real, me damn it.
Oh, hell. Somehow, I thought this would circle back to Christian. I actually think that happened to Christian somewhere along the way. He got exposed to the business, and from that point on, he was like, fuck this shit. It fucking sucks. It fucking sucks. I got some complaints about Christian. But you know what, man? The show rolls on how it rolls on. Hopefully we can get our listeners from India back. But I'm working with them. I'm working with them. So Saheem and Sayad, hey, guys, I mean, you know, Senpai.
What?
I need you guys back.
Veer?
I need you guys back.
Veer is
I'm
coming
back
to
now.
Single four-way radio.
Yeah, there you
is
go.
Veer?
But,
yeah.
But I love it, man. I love it. And thanks for keeping the show afloat. But shit, where else were we at? They exposed
we were at
the business.
Birthday.
Oh, yeah, we were at birthdays. Shit. Let's see, Otis. Otis Dozovic? Is that like Otis?
It's going to be a
big
take.
That's his old NXT name. That was his old NXT name.
Yeah, okay. Well, 1991 for Big Otis, who's having a match against Randy Orton next week. And where the fuck is RK? Where's the bro? I guess we'll get into that in a little while.
He's about to sell an injury, kayfabe, so.
Oh, okay. He's selling an injury. All right. So I think that explains it.
What the hell is that?
The hell? All right, Luke Gallows.
All the fucking stuff.
We all got an Amber Alert.
Stevie Ricky for a minute.
Texas Amber Alert. You're listening in Honda, Texas. Definitely keep an eye out.
Oh, hell, that's what that is. I'm getting it too now. Oh, man. You want to read it out, Kevin?
I don't have it pulled up anymore, actually.
Yeah, I don't have it either. It's Amber.
It was for 100.
So hopefully they take care of that situation. So let's move on to see here. Luke Gallows, of course, that's the old Festus.
The good brothers.
That tag team, yeah, the good brother Festus.
Yeah.
And now he, 1983, that guy, young fella.
Yeah.
The great Muta. 1962.
Right.
I don't remember that guy too much. I remember hearing about him, but I don't really remember. To me,
you know
they're all.
I just got.
To
I
me,
just, I just got the
great
yeah.
like that. They're a straight copy of the great Kabuki.
It was
Anybody
listening? Anybody listening? Real quick, Hondo, Texas, 8-year-old white female Ariana Wright with a W. 9-year-old white male. There's two of them, brother and sister, Lucas Wright, also with a W, 11 years old, white male, Jonathan White, possibly wearing all green underwear. Suspect is a white male, possibly wearing a green hoodie or jacket. Call 911 if you have any information. So
wow. There you go. Amber Alert.
Well, here's the thing, right? If they have the information, they just described what this guy looks like. Why don't they just find him? Like,
well, I mean, if you have more eyes looking for him, the more the better, right?
You know what it sounds like to me? And we don't have to focus on this, but, like, you know, during the holiday, I've noticed these things popping up more and more. And what it is it sounds to me like a domestic-ish, like, thing. Like, if it's, like, a brother and sister, it's probably the dad. And it's probably, like,
the guy. That's what I'm thinking. I mean, that was my first thought.
And you, I mean,
that was my first thought, guys.
Separated parents, like, kidnap their kids, and it happens.
The guy is like,
Never happened to me, hell no, man.
I'm gonna spend Christmas with my children.
Pops up, much of the time of year, or he doesn't want to pay child support.
So
he'll learn the hard way on that one, because you know they always end up paying child support one way or another. They don't get away from it.
All right.
So yeah. Jamie Noble, 1976.
Yeah. Jamie Noble.
Yeah, he was a great stooge, man. He was a great stooge. At least I thought.
He was a great cruiserweight. He's a great cruiserweight, just in general.
Oh, yeah.
A really good fucking wrestler.
My favorite spot of him, though, and I keep repeating this, though, was when when that guy, the British guy, what's his name from NXT, when he stole his girlfriend. That was some great shit, man. That was some great shit. Cassius
Nolan.
What's that?
I like when he got drafted to SmackDown, Jamie Noble. When he got drafted to SmackDown and he's like talking to somebody, apparently he's talking to one of the girls, and he's like, I'm going to take the biggest guy out. I'm going to find the biggest guy on the roster, and I'm going to take him out. Prison rules style.
Dang. That's crazy that you remembered that. Wow, that's funny, though.
Hell yeah.
Jamie freaking Noble, happy birthday. That's coming up on the 23rd, Christmas Eve of Christmas Eve. The eve of Christmas Eve. Cassius Ohno on Christmas Eve, no less.
Loser. Loser.
1979.
The guy's a loser.
Cash's.
Yeah. Can we just address? It's gotta suck to have your birthday on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Like,
oh man, yeah.
We're thinking about today. Hey, if it's your birthday on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, we get it. Like, you're probably not getting as much as other people. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, but isn't that like a bonus? Like, since it's his birthday and Christmas, he gets double the gifts.
No, it doesn't work. I don't think it works like that. If it was my wife, I sound like a horrible husband. I would just give him one good gift. If it was anybody I knew, I'd just get him one good gift. I wouldn't get him two gifts.
This is how I would think about it, right? This is how I would think, right? One set of gifts is his birthday, and then one other set of gifts is his Christmas, and then he gets a cake, so it's a win-win. That's the best birthday right there.
Now you're asking me to bake a fucking cake, too. Not only do I have to do regular Christmas gifts. Not only do I have to do fucking Christmas, I have to bake you a cake, too.
Boo-hoo, I don't give a fuck, boo-hoo, it's my fucking birthday. Give me my cake.
Does that mean that does that mean that you can't have a Christmas cake? Like, as well as a birthday cake? Because some people have Christmas cakes.
That's right.
You can fuse them together, that one
that's got all the fruit stuck in it that nobody likes to eat.
Hey, you can fuse them together. Have a Christmas cake with fucking Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is your fucking frosting. Who cares?
You can't have your birthday on Christmas because it's Jesus' birthday.
That's got to be a win for the fucking parents, though. Like, it's like, oh, shit, like, our baby's due sometime in December. I hope to God it's born on fucking Christmas Day, because that means we only have to get one little fucking... That means you only have to buy a cake for the rest of our fucking lives.
Like me, but I don't know. It doesn't work like that. I say that, but I'm sure everybody whose birthday is on Christmas probably gets fucking spoiled. So I take back everything I said. Fuck all you Christmas babies.
Disclaimer, we don't really mean that. So,
I mean, was that a heel turn on Kevin's part there?
Yeah,
no.
It may be a heel turn, but we don't want to get canceled. So, disclaimer, he was joking.
I'm kidding. I didn't mean it. Literal babies. I think that goes without saying. Not literal babies. Anyways, I think I heel turn more than Big Show on the show nowadays. I think I do heel and
Big Show more than Big Show. More than Big Show?
Cassius
Ohno's bringing the muffins, though. Cassius Ohno's bringing the muffins. Let's see here. Raka Khan. Does anybody know Raka Khan?
I don't fucking know.
I don't remember. He was Scott Steiner's valet in TNA.
Oh, man. It's great that you know that. I had no idea. I knew I had to mention his name. I knew I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah, she was in for a while.
I bet she was the manager of Awesome Kong, though.
She was that for a while, too. Yeah, she was also a Scott Steiner for quite a bit.
Wow.
Well,
I think. I'm pretty sure.
Of course.
No, Scott Steiner never had a valet in TNA, actually. It was just the main event mafia.
It was a wrestler named Killer Khan. You guys remember Killer Khan?
No.
Yeah, there used to be a guy named Killer Khan. He was the Mongolian Stomper, I believe. Killer Khan. But I digress. Christmas Day again. We have Rusev. Oh, Ruru.
Yeah. Miro.
Day. Yeah, Ruru.
Yeah.
So Miro, happy birthday, Miro. I wonder what his real name is.
The Alliance,
what do you think his real
name is?
Sorry,
I cut in again. I had to look that up. But yeah, Raka Khan was with Scott Steiner for like a couple of weeks, it says on her Wikipedia. I mean, it says February 10th, she made her debut at Against All Odds. She distracted Petey Williams during his match against Scott Steiner, helping Steiner to win. On the following edition of Impact, Steiner introduced her as Raka Khan, a moniker in homage to soul singer Chaka Khan. And then she later
had
Petey Williams.
With Chaka Khan.
It wasn't very long, the relationship between her and Steiner. So.
Yeah, and then Petey Williams.
That's how I remember
her. Scott Steiner, right? Isn't
Petey
Williams the guy who's like the tiny Scott Steiner now?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
for
sure.
little
Petey Steiner, yeah, Mini Steiner.
Minion, 1968, December 26th, guys, day after Christmas.
Dude, back to Minion. Got milk. Oh,
yeah, back
I remember
to Minion.
Got milk commercials.
There you go. And so, what about this guy?
Dennis Knight.
This guy, he gets a present. He gets two presents. Because he gets a present the day of Christmas, and he gets a present the day after Christmas.
Midian doesn't get any presents. Midian doesn't get birthday presents, and he definitely gets coal in his stocking.
Oh, he just gets he gets a box with a finger in it.
Yeah.
He gets
whatever
presents he gets
does get, I don't want to know what they are because they're probably rated X.
Oh, hell.
Yeah. He gets gifts from the Undertaker for all his services.
Yeah.
Take
her calls. Happy birthday, brother. Hey, you got pants on? Hey, what are you wearing?
Well,
a lot of people don't remember. A lot of people don't remember that when he first got there, as part of the Godwin tag team, they were managed by Hillbilly Jim for a few weeks or a few months too.
Really?
In like 95
or
so.
He
yeah.
One of the Godwins? Wasn't Midian one of the Godwins?
Yeah, he was Phineas O'Godwin.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Henry Godwin was his tag team partner. And they were managed by Hillbilly Jim.
Hmm.
I get all Mike Tanay about it right now, but yeah. And then the finger reference was when he was in the Ministry of Darkness as Midian, he had the little box with a finger in it.
Yeah.
You guys remember that?
The Ministry of Darkness. I remember that.
Oh. Yeah.
He wasn't the first member of the Ministry of Darkness, though. Technically, the first two members were JBL and Farouk.
Yeah, those were some damn good references there, Albert. Let's see here. So Midian, 1968. We had also, what the fuck? What is today? The 21st? So, yeah. We had Bart Gunn on the 27th. Guys, Bart
Gunn. What a bad motherfucker that guy was, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bart Gunn, he had a glass jaw, though. He did have a glass jaw. He got rocked.
He got rocked.
Yeah.
Who beat the shit out of him? Was it Steve Williams, right?
I think he was knocked out. Like, put in a fucking situation that anyone would have got knocked out in. Like, obviously, Bart Gunn would have knocked my ass out. Let's just put it that way.
Oh yeah. No.
It wasn't Steve Williams.
The Montreal Screwjob. If the screw job was real, then the Brawl for All was worse than that. Like, it's one of the worst things they ever did.
Yeah, because a lot of people got really hurt. That was a lawsuit waiting to happen. So that
won it, right?
Bart won like as a shoot. Bart shoot won that shit, and then they made him fight Butterbean.
Yeah, and Butterbean fucked him up. That's right.
Yeah, Butterbean knocked his ass out.
Okay. That's right. Because Bart knocked out. Yeah, that's a lot going on here.
But he was stacked, too. Like, the dude was yoked. He would have been a good wrestler. And, like, look at him. He was a shooter, too. He actually could wrestle. And they just, like, they're like, no, we're going to actually kill you and not do anything with you.
We got Demolition Axe also. You guys remember Demolition Axe?
Oh, yeah.
There was Demolition. There was two guys. Yeah. And one of them was Axe. So that guy, December 27th also. Hell. Here's a good one. Here's a real good one. Don't tell me. Oh, my God. Don't tell me. December 27th,
fuck
guys.
Fuck him.
Christian's favorite. Goldberg. My favorite. I hate fucking Goldberg. Albert's favorite. Legitimate. One of his all-time favorites. Albert. On the 27th. Goldberg. 1966. 55.
Goldberg. Hometown boy now. He's a hometown boy here now.
There you go.
But, yeah, he wasn't my favorite, but I'll give him props where the props is due there. The props is due there.
Goldberg. Any Goldberg memorable moments?
It's too many.
Yeah. Too many people he robbed out of titles to remember.
I don't remember Goldberg at all.
I have one memory. I remember him ending Bret Hart's fucking career.
Oh, hell. Ooh.
I avoid watching him nowadays. When I was a kid, I didn't watch WCW. But the main thing I remember about Goldberg is that he was like the guy that would always come up in the arguments as a kid. They'd be like, well, Goldberg could beat up The Rock or beat up Stone Cold. And I'd be like, no fucking way, dude. Like, I was like, the guy did not seem like a threat compared to any of the guys that I watched on TV. I've never been a mark for Goldberg, and it's, like, super hard for me to get into his matches whenever he does have matches because I'm like, fuck this guy. Stone Cold will beat him up.
It was all, like, just hype and excitement, and that was his gimmick, you know what I mean? And then, like, once he kind of didn't have that, it was just kind of – he was just kind of, like, a bland character. And he was, like, running around, with the new blood.
Yeah,
and did,
like, looking like a fucking lizard. Sticking his tongue out like
a fucking lizard. Yeah, and he was tearing through these jobbers, and he was like Mortal Kombat-ing himself, and that's why everybody was like getting fucking hyped up behind Goldberg, right? He was just like fucking plowing through people, like working his way up the fucking WCW ranks, you know, through the roster, you know. So that's kind of the hype that was Goldberg. I think it was a great fucking build-up. I think that was. You know, and then with the, you know, Kevin Nash thing kind of ruined it for him, but whatever.
It works if you do it with a guy, I think, and I was thinking about this, not to get too off the rails, but they, like, you got a guy like Omos, and they're going to give him this singles push.
Oh, man.
If they did a new character where they give him a program, they, like, just have Omos appear and beat up somebody, and then he disappears. Like, he doesn't have to keep wrestling after that. Like, he doesn't have to be in another program the next day. He can go away for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then come back and fight, be in a program with somebody else. And he can win that. And, like, they can spread it out. They don't have to do it all fucking week to week to week to week. And they don't do that.
I can't stand that guy.
Yeah, no chance. No, he's fucking terrible in the ring, so there's no chance. No chance.
I mean,
yeah,
why didn't they just keep fucking Braun Strowman?
I'm using
he was
him
already
as an example,
fucking
really
shedding his greenness.
I'm using him as an example because that's who they're trying to do it with next, I think. But that's one of the guys they're trying to do it. But I'm just saying, like, that's how they could do the booking with this shit. And instead they put these guys, if they're popular, they put them on TV every week as much as they can, and they run out of time and shit. So
yeah.
With Goldberg, I think, like you said, it was lightning in a bottle for a little while, but then it fucking wore off super quick. But, you know, so
you know,
there's definitely
you know
a
who
time
else?
To it.
You know who else could beat the shit out of Goldberg? China, and it's her birthday too.
You know who else? You know who else could beat the shit out of Goldberg? Apparently, Chris Jericho. Oh.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's a good
champion.
One right there. Yes. Yeah, he's a legit badass too. Remember when he went after after Lesnar? That was great shit.
Yeah.
That's a legit badass, man, going after fucking Lesnar for that shit that he did on who was it, Orton or what was it?
Yeah, it was Orton at some
when he beat the shit out of
it
Orton.
Was Orton. Yeah. He thought Lesnar went off script, but it was part of the show, so Jericho didn't know.
Yeah. Some good shit right there. Let's see. Who else? So China, of course, you know, posthumous, 1969. Let's see. Also says Cesaro, happy birthday to the swingman. The swingman who, man, he probably, I don't know. You know, we got these guys signing back with WWE. It's crazy. I just wonder if like Cesaro is like one of those guys who's like, you know, he found his home there and that's it, man. He's not going to go.
Off.
Even if he has the job and shit. I mean, he's just there, secure, comfortable, company man, towing the company line, if you will. My cousin, December 27th, got sucked back in. She got sucked back in. She could have stayed out. Her husband was already out. She could have stayed out or whatever. Her husband was on the way out, I think it was. She could have stayed
she's
out.
She's an idiot.
And she got sucked back in. And now she's, you know,
she's
wearing the crown. Wearing the crown. The first
it seems like a bad
queen of the ring.
It really, it seems like a bad business move on her part. Seems like she could have
she's
done more if she went somewhere else. She's the queen of the ring. And she's got this gimmick. She's got whatever that's worth, you know, it's worth whatever they make it worth.
Yeah, bro, but how long is it going to last? I mean, I think you're right. I think you're right. She would have probably been better off talking to Khan and that. Albert, go ahead.
They're doing what they do, you know what I mean, to try to keep them. They offer him a little bit more money. It's the same thing they do with Kevin Owens. Of course, Kevin Owens is going to have a main event run. He's probably going to get a title run. You know, Selena Vega is going to have – I mean, she has the – queen gimmick going on right now. She's in a lot of programs. They probably offered her a lot of money. And then after that, it's going to be like back to fucking normal.
Burial.
In
back to burial.
Year. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought she was already buried already. She's terrible already.
Remember last week, I think it was last week where I said she had the shining moment in her promo. She does do good promos whenever she wants to or something. I don't know. But no, she like was doing the British accent and then she breaks character in the middle and she starts talking shit like as the real Zelina. I love that character.
Yeah, I like
that's
that
really,
too when
really
she
really
does
funny.
That shit. So yeah, that's it for the birthdays this week. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. And let's have the the proverbial closeout, if you will, with Christian from Philly.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Frosty's more over than all of you. And Rudolph is too. Go fuck yourself.
Rudolph. What the hell does Rudolph have to go back? Come on, man. Rudolph, bro? I like Rudolph.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is more over than these people's birthdays. That's what
I'm saying. I'll get right on that for you, man. I like to imitate Rudolph, the way he talks. He's funny. Anyway, let's move on to the the reindeer, man. I'm talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. He's good. He's a good guy to imitate. I try to do little cartoon voices every now and then. I probably shouldn't even be saying that here. Speaking of cartoons, though, yeah. Speaking of cartoons, man, there's a lot of cartoons going on right now. Some good shit. But, nah, we'll get to that later. All right, let's move on here. We have, oh, yeah, it's time for, what is that shit we call
this it? This Day in Wrestling History.
This Day in Wrestling. It's time for the retro segment. Yeah, this day. I don't have very much for the retro segment. Let's see.
Weird.
What the fuck happened here?
We gotta let's burn through this and do our festival. So we got a lot of shit to talk shit about.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then fuck it. Let's burn through the retro real quick, if you will. And let's see here. A year ago today, WWE announced their Slammies. No, wait a minute. This is 5 years ago today, guys. WWE announced their Slammy Awards winner list, and among the winners would be Nikki Bella, John Cena, The Usos, and Neville. But Seth Rollins would win the most prestigious event of them all, getting the Superstar of the Year. Man, this is a great one. How the mighty have fallen, huh? I still can't get into the Seth Rollins character. Actually, it's better now that he's got Kevin Owens with him and shit. A little bit better, but like Seth Rollins, man, he had just lost me, and there was no getting, no coming back. I mean, I could not stand that shit. I loved it at first when he was like the douchebag that didn't really know he was being a douchebag, but then like he just fucking evolved with that, and it just happened way too fast, too soon, and shit. And I got lost in the shuffle, and I was like, fuck this guy.
What the fuck is his character right now? Like, we went from the architect to the Monday Night Messiah to the visionary to whatever the fuck this is. What the fuck is his character now?
I mean, I've heard him referred to as some kind of Joker, like, you know, because of the outfits and shit, but it's even gone beyond that. Like, it's gone beyond that. Kevin, your thoughts? Seth Rollins? Superstar of the Year 5 years ago.
I mean, bro, there was a point where he was the shit here, where he was, like, definitely, and I mean, like, he's just so looked well upon, like, his career on the indies and stuff when he came in. Like, he's this guy who, like, everybody knows is, like, potentially one of the best wrestlers in the world or whatever at any time. And so I think that, like, yeah, just, like, the littlest character change can put him right back in the driver's seat where he's – I think that of a lot of people, and I know I'm marking out for Seth Rollins a lot right now, but of a lot of people on their roster that they've had on the roster for a long time, he's one of the guys that probably has that potential to like be a bigger star than even like Roman or, you know, guys like that. And I think he is like the same level. I don't know. Seth, I'm a big fan of Seth Rollins. I like his moveset.
Oh, yeah.
I think that his gimmick right now definitely sucks, but there's been times where he fucking did it perfect. And his heel turn on the Shield is like one of my favorite moments too. So, yeah, I don't know. He's the shit.
Right.
He'll be cool again, and WWE will change, and it'll be cool again. But right now, we know it's the shits.
Are we sure, Kevin? Are we sure about that?
I think it will. I think a change is going to come. I don't know. But, like, it's going to be a year or two. There's
going
to be a renaissance
for
WWE.
You're going back to the optimism that I gave up a long time ago.
How could there be a renaissance era if this fucking lunatic keeps firing people every fucking week?
Because people are signing new contracts. That's one thing. I mean, people, they are keeping talent, and they're rearranging the company and stuff. There's, like, a lot of stuff with just the company being rearranged and possible. I don't know. I think that all the shit that's going on right now, like, in 2 or 3 months, it's going to be maybe not that soon, 3 or 4 or 5 months, it'll be, like, some totally different shit that we're talking about. Like, I think that they're going to have, like, a totally different business plan.
I mean, you know, you want to talk about the business plan. I mean, like, you know, here recently it was an interesting revelation that came out how Nick Khan, you know, or is that his name? Yeah, Nick Khan. You know, he's good friends with
The
Rock. Good friends with The Rock and shit since childhood friendship with The Rock. and shit. And, you know, The Rock has the shit. He's got Rock money. He's got wealth, massive amounts of wealth and shit. He bought the XFL. I mean, he's very capable of maybe with another partner to buying WWE. I mean,
The Rock is not. I hate to say it, but
like,
The Rock is the not
going to
wait.
Rock.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say the dirt sheets are pretty much all trash, but like in the last like 2 or 3 weeks, I've seen more shit about WWE selling than ever before. And like if I was a WWE stockholder, you know, I'd be wondering what the fuck is about to hold, like happen with the company, because they've just, like you said, they fire so many people and there's like rumors of them selling. So I think that like a lot of shit points to them probably selling it in the next 2 or 3 years.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to happen. But to who?
No way is The Rock going to waste his fucking billions of dollars investing in fucking WWE. No way.
He becomes the new Vince McMahon.
Right. I don't see it happening.
Comes out
either.
With a badass walk and shit.
It's like Jim Cornette said it best. It's like, why the fuck would The Rock spend most of his fortune buying a wrestling promotion? You know what I mean? Like, and trying to fix, you know what I mean?
True.
Yeah, interesting. So that's it for the, wrestling history. So fuck it. That's it. That's it for that. So let's take a quick little break and we'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to talk about the fucking, the Festivus. How about that? We'll get that out of the way. And then we'll get into our weekly, our weekly slaughter, if you will. So we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Good dancer, what's Dan Severn up to these days?
Last I heard, he was just walking around with a wet gray t-shirt around town.
Yeah.
going from city to city with that music playing in the background.
Wrist tapes up. He's like, hey, y'all sell wrist tape? He like walks into a Walgreens and sells wrist tape. They're like, no, sir, sorry.
Just like a buff fucking Freddie Mercury.
He is the buff Mercury. Yeah. Dan Severn's probably one of our favorite
wrestlers. We have
that's
a
song
here.
Hi, this is the Resident Heel, Minister of Sinister, from Fatal 4-Way Radio. And on behalf of the Unusual Suspects and myself, we would like to wish you a happy and safe holiday season. And thanks for listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio each and every week right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. It's that time of year to spread some holiday cheer, party with friends, and drink lots of beer. For some of you, that is. But I digress. So happy holidays to you from all of us here at Fatal 4-Way Radio. And remember, keep it real, keep it heel, and more importantly, have a Merry Christmas. Peace!
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Imagine being Dan Severn's kids and you touch the thermostat and the AC thermostat and this song is fucking playing and you see this guy like walking down the hall with a fucking gray t-shirt smoking sweat.
I think when he gets mad, like the hairs in his mustache like stand up, like they get like, because they perk up, like they turn extra black and everything. I wouldn't fuck with that dude. There's a few wrestlers. There's like 10 shooters that I could think of, but that's one that I would not fuck with.
I was like one of these fucking dudes that like you walk up to him, he cuffs him, and he'll like punch you with his mustache. He doesn't have to lift his arms. His mustache is like fucking, he's a fucking Popeye.
Welcome back, Fatal 4-Way Radio. The memories, some of the memories there that we've had on this show. Those were Dan Severn memories. So yeah, that's some good stuff. And you can go back and listen to a lot of the madness that we have. In the archives, Block Talk Radio, World Generation Podcast, Fatal 4-Way Radio. So, yeah, be sure and do that. So guys, Festivus for the rest of us. Albert said it best earlier with his impression there. And but yeah, that's what we're gonna do. We got a lot of shit to talk about. Let's start with Kevier.
Well,
Kevier.
So I'm not too familiar with the tradition. This is so you were supposed to just to like air our grievances with wrestling. That's what the segment is.
Albert, if you will, explain it to us.
Yeah, somebody do it, and I'll follow the lead.
What? I've got a lot of problems with you people, and now you're going to hear about it.
That's the impression from the guy from Seinfeld, because, you know,
Vince McMahon
comes from Fast Seinfeld. Albert?
Gotcha. I know. I heard it.
Vince McMahon, you've been shitty with your promotion. You've been firing too many people. You've been letting these storyboard, these storyline writers go nuts and then be inconsistent with their stories. And you've been holding wrestlers back the entire year. Tony Khan, I got a problem with you too. Even though you got a superior product at WWE, you're spending too much of your daddy's money on ex-WWE superstars, and this could quite possibly bankrupt your company. God damn it. I don't know who else do I have? I'll come back later. I got some more shit to talk. Yeah. Who's next?
Okay, so we just pick individuals. Shit on them. I like it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Tony Khan, you also have a second show called Rampage that doesn't do shit. It's 1 hour, and it's fucking mud in the ratings, so there's really no point in it.
Oh, man. I mean, there could be value in that, though. That's what bothers me. Like, there could be some value in that show if they just, did something better with it. It's not like they're not capable. Why don't they do it?
Move it in a different time slot or some other fucking time slot.
I think that might help too.
Nobody's gonna stay up after 10 p.m. to watch a fucking 1 hour show. Nobody has the time for that. People fucking go to bed after that shit.
Yeah, my problems, you know, here lately. Well, when I've been here, you know, and my apologies for that. Some health issues, and then last week, you know, I was on assignment, if you will. But yeah, man, my thing, you know, I've been beefing on with AEW lately. And it's like they've got no legit stories that they do. To me, they waste Dynamite with these long ass freaking matches and shit. Oh yeah, they're great matches, but I mean shit, you could take a nap or two between, you know. And it's all the same shit, you know. They're having fucking 15, 20 minutes, however long they are, and it's the same shit. Two guys that are like basically as good as each other, they make them sound like. And then they go to a fucking draw, proving that they are. And it's like some fucking nobody and CM Punk. And it's like, what the fuck is this shit? I can't get into that shit. And then WWE,
they don't have,
you know. Yeah?
They don't have
They
need a bigger card. They need like a super card, like WrestleMania or Starrcade. And I understand that's supposed to be All Out, but All Out really doesn't feel like that super card. You know what I mean?
They do it whenever they do it. What was the last one that they did? It was a front to back like badass pay per view. It wasn't All Out. It was a
Full Gear.
Full Gear, yeah. Full Gear was like a straight badass super show. And then I don't know. I think they wanted to start that show. I criticized that too. I think they wanted to start it with that match, and them ending it with a draw made sense because it started the show. So like I don't know. Like if it would have been different if they ended the show and it was a draw. Since they started the show with it, they gave us a really badass match at the beginning of the show, and it was a draw, so we knew that there was going to be something afterwards, you know, rather than being, like, let down in the last match of the night.
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. If that whole show, Winter is Coming, if that whole show was just that one match, I think everyone would have been happy, because guess what? After that fucking 1 hour, the rest of the show was fucking underwhelming. I'm sorry if you guys are like pro AEW fans out there.
A bad decision.
You know it's fucking true. That fucking hour was the only good thing because the rest of the show was fucking underwhelming. All right?
Yeah. No, it made you think that it was going to be nonstop action like the whole time, and it wasn't necessarily. It was still a badass show. I mean, AEW, it's fucking apples and oranges, dude. Like, it's is that the right expression? Because it's way different. Like, WWE and AEW does not look the same. You could show somebody WWE, and they would probably think it sucked, and then you could show them AEW, and they might respect wrestling. So there's a real difference in the product. And I just mean, like, any match. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, like, jaded to WWE, but that's my grievances with WWE for fucking just sucking so bad after, like, you know, I don't know, what I feel like was, like, a good 5-6 year run where they built all these people, and now they just, like, you see all your favorites die, like, in 2 years. They just killed all these people on the roster. And
the biggest problem that I have, now, my beef with WWE, I aired out my beef with, you know, AEW. My beef with WWE, it's the same fucking matches every, I mean, it's like all the time. Here we got a new pay-per-view day one. It's the goddamn Usos versus fucking New Day. How many times have we seen that shit in a fucking pay-per-view?
For years. They're not trying to compete with, like, other TV shows. We've talked about that on this show before. They're not competing with, like, fucking Game of Thrones or what the fuck ever is popular at the time. They're not competing with those kinds of shows, and they should be. It should be badass. Like, this is a traveling road show. And
right,
like,
should be bad.
And it's on TV every night of the week, like every week. Like, what the fuck? Make it cool.
But if they're not competing, why are they so scared of trying to re-sign people like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn? And why are they fucking doing fucking cheap shots at AEW if they're not scared and doing competition?
They're competing with each other. But I think maybe they, like I said, they should compete with. They should have more respect for, like, their performers and what they're doing and what they're really capable of, and probably give them the reins. Like, Lucha Underground's a good example of that. Lucha Underground was good because it was different and, like, portrayed with, like, more of, like, a, I don't know if that's the answer, but I'm saying, like, definitely trying different things. How the Hardy Compound shit was different, how the Bray Wyatt shit was different. WWE, like, dangled this carrot, or they used to dangle this carrot. Now the carrot's fucking gone. There's no carrot. They're just fucking flushing it down the toilet, and we're fucking watching it.
I agree, Kevin. And there was a big old fucking carrot, especially, you know, WrestleMania 2020. You know, it was like they had, like, those badass, like, you know, they were doing those cinematic matches, the fucking, they were the Undertaker Boneyard match, the fucking, I mean, it was just like, you know, they were drawing a lot more from the indies and from Impact and all these, like, really good companies. And then, like you said, the carrot disappeared. It vanished, if you will. It got blooped.
You know, Captain, there's people. Also don't...
All right, let's continue.
I was just going to say, there's people that'll watch 600 episodes of an anime or whatever, like, you know, and they'll be like, you got to watch this show. This show's awesome. And it's a fucking cartoon. And now
you've
got
this
concept.
You should tell me you've got to watch Raw from the very beginning.
Yeah. Like, there's a select few people. We do it week to week, and we don't realize it. But you would never fucking say, I'm going to watch 600 episodes of Raw. Fuck that. Like, there's a handful of people that would. But we do it not realizing.
Unless it was like a good version of Raw back then, then we will watch 600 episodes. If it was the fucking good version.
Which one, bro? I'd like to hear you talk about that one for once.
No, like, during, like, 1999 all the way to 2005.
Oh, yeah, that was some good shit right there. Those were the fucking years. And I even liked some of the shit they did after that, too. And some of the shit they're doing today, too. I like some of it. Some of it is, like, to me, it's just so entertainingly funny and shit like that. And it's like, man, the humor behind it is really fucking cool. I don't know who comes up with it or what, but some of it is funny, I think. But I digress. So, Kevier, were you able to come up with your grievances on wrestling since a couple of us have now talked about them?
I got some of them out just then, but... I don't know. Like, I don't have any personal grievances towards any wrestlers. I don't feel bad against any wrestlers.
What about that guy last week that was in the news for fucking cutting into that referee? What a piece of shit.
Yeah, so I did want to talk about that. I did that. That was what I had planned for this segment. I didn't know how it would fit. But Hannibal,
piece of shit.
Like last week, we talked about Hannibal, and I remember motherfucking this guy. And I'm pretty sure I had a buzz on, but I was like, I was really going in on this dude. And I'm not withdrawing my statement on him. But I will say that Hannibal put a video out where he told his side of the story, and he shows a bunch of stuff in the video. He shows like clips from the match, and he shows hard camera footage that hasn't been seen. He shows a bunch of stuff, and he shows conversations with the guy. But then still remaining is like the fact that this guy stabbed the fuck out of him. He said, I didn't know that I was stabbing him. I thought that I was, that my hand was on the blade, and I didn't know that it was poking him.
Get the fuck out of here.
And,
get the fuck out of here.
And everybody's saying that he's fucked up. I'm just saying, one thing that it made me think when I was watching that video is I was sitting there watching this guy's video, and I was thinking, man, I just, like, automatically, like, went in and was like, fuck this guy because of, like, predetermined shit, like, just because I already didn't like the guy. So I'm going hard on myself, but, like, fuck myself for, like, making such a harsh judgment right away. Like, that's what's dangerous about this shit. Like, people get canceled. People are just so quick to make a judgment super quick before all the shit comes out. And I'm just saying that, like, there is, like, this other behind-the-scenes shit, and this shit was planned, and it was a work, and I got fucking worked, and it's kind of cool because you don't get worked that much, so, like, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I think the Hannibal situation was totally a work, but I think the guy got hurt whenever they did it, and I think that it wasn't pulled off well at all. But still, I'm like motherfucking the guy, and it made me feel bad about myself. Christian, I know that you probably don't feel as bad about saying some of the things you say. But sometimes I'm like, damn, it could be really damaging to say something about somebody if you don't know everything about it.
If it was indeed it was a damn good work. I mean, the referee ended up getting, you know, a few thousand dollars.
I don't think it was a work. It was an accident. Like, it was supposed it went down like it was supposed to, but he did get hurt.
I heard that the ref needed help blading, and that Hannibal had went too far doing it, and that it was supposed to happen like that, and that the other refs and other security were supposed to come off and pull Hannibal off the referee, and it never came.
Watch Hannibal's video that I'm talking about, Albert, because we kind of see eye to eye on a lot of shit. So watch it and let me know if you think I'm crazy, like that maybe it makes sense.
Personally,
I
don't
really
want that video,
like,
but it wasn't available to me.
But his video, like, made me kind of take a second thought about it.
I'm not defending this at all. I'm saying, like, you know, what I gather from this is that if something like this was supposed to happen, it was to work, but then he went too far, like a dumbass,
I do think he's a dumbass.
Fucking probably got caught up in the moment, got fucking adrenaline fucking rushing, and fucking ended up fucking this dude up, and he was negligent. So yeah, I mean, it was a work, but it was also a shoot, and it was his fault, and he needs to be accountable.
Yeah.
What happened was they were discussing this spot. Hannibal was nowhere near the fucking backstage entrance when they were talking about this spot. Ref didn't have a razor blade. The lunatic stabbed him in the head, went too far. And if he claims that this was an accident, fine, but guess what? When were you going to stop? When your girlfriend was going to interfere? Because that's the only time you stopped, when your real-life girlfriend had to pull your lunatic ass off the poor man's skull. If you're really sorry, go donate that fucking GoFundMe, motherfucker. If you're really sorry.
It wasn't his GoFundMe. It was the rest GoFundMe.
Yeah, you don't really sound sorry, but the description of the videos, to me, you're just sorry that you got caught. So, you know, you're a jackass.
I'm just saying that, like, one week I felt one way. The next week I felt another way about it, and so I'm like
it happens.
It fucking sucks to, like, judge somebody real hard. I'm still saying that Hannibal could be wrong, and, like, that guy, I everything I said about him, like, hating him just naturally, I still stand by. But, like, fuck, I don't know. It's just a weird situation. Should that guy be wrestling? I don't know. Is it, or who are we to fucking say?
No, he's terrible. I've seen his match and he's fucking awful. So get some respect.
I'm gonna say
my grievances, right?
Oh shit, that's right. Forgot about the Philly Nilly with the chili on the willy. Christian from Philly. Let's hear him.
My grievances are the whole company of TNA Impact. It fucking sucks. The state of Impact right now is fucking disgraceful. The fact that they're so fucking cheap, right? This is the most cheapest fucking company I've ever seen in my life. Out of all the companies, the production is shit. The crowd is shit. The fucking wrestlers, although they're talented, you know, they're shit. Like, it took them, like, this long in 2021 to make Moose world champion? It took you this fucking long to make
Moose?
Him world champ?
Do you think that's
you
why,
fucking...
pardon me, do you think that that's why fucking Brock Lesnar's going moose hunting and shit? All of a sudden, they're name dropping this moose. That's interesting.
No, that was just a funny bit. They're not gonna have a moose.
But the
Bound for Glory pay per view was fucking dog shit this year. That pay per view was dog shit. It was horrible. The only thing that was worthwhile was that Josh Alexander won the world title, but they couldn't even let him hold the world title for long because Moose. They copied fucking the Money in the Bank briefcase bullshit, where instead of a briefcase is a fucking tiny trophy. Yeah, that's going to get over real quick, a fucking gimmick like that. So it's fucking dumb. The company's fucking dumb. I don't even know how this company is still on the map right now. This company fucking sucks, all right? Their stories fucking suck. I hate that fucking fake reality TV show segment, Wrestlers in the House bullshit. That was fucking cringe. What the fuck? Tommy Dreamer is a fucking schmuck. He's the biggest schmucks right now in wrestling. Like, he was a fucking shit wrestler in ECW. The only reason why people even know him was because he had matches with fucking Raven. Other than that, he's a fucking bum. He's a bum. He's a bum in the wrestling community.
Tommy's back? Is Tommy in TNA or Impact right now?
He always goes back to Impact, whether he goes away or doesn't, because they always bring
the old motherfuckers back. He got canceled over the Ric Flair thing.
He's not Ric Flair. He didn't get the Ric Flair heat.
He's back out of suspension, but who gives a fuck? Madison Rayne is fucking back in the wrestling scene for some reason, even though she said she was going to fucking retire. She should fucking retire. She's fucking trash. She can't fucking talk in the mic. She was awful as a ring as a fucking commentator for those few months. Horrible. Trash.
Hey, I just imagined like a promotion where Christian is, instead of like a booker or something, he's the commentator. And so like the guys are wrestling and Christian's like the heel commentator and he's just fucking shitting on everybody in the ring. That'd be so
he's shitting on everybody. He's shitting on the heels too.
Imagine us four having to do like commentary at a wrestling match. God damn.
He's shit. The guy can't fucking do a backflip right, let alone do a fucking punch. He's dog shit.
I tell you what though. I dug Impact's Throwback Thursday. Did you guys see any of that? I thought that was really interesting.
Oh hell no.
I'm sorry, I missed it. I do too.
I need to go out of my way to check it out and see if
they
Christian says.
I mean, you know that Southpaw regional wrestling that WWE had on the network for a while.
Yeah.
You know, that was all the Good Brothers. You know what I mean? So they took those ideas and they turned it into a special on Impact this last week, and I thought it was pretty funny, man. I thought it was pretty good.
Another grievance I had with this is the biggest grievance.
Oh, hell, there's more.
The fucking pointless crossover deal with fucking AEW Impact. What the fuck was the point of that, really? What the fuck was the point of that? Just for Kenny Omega and his fucking fuck buddies to go
really
to Impact and then go to AEW?
Yeah,
that was
I really think that's what that was.
You fucking... You donkey.
That's part of his privilege of being a VP.
It was for the belt collector gimmick. It was to put a little spotlight on Impact and then to give Kenny an extra belt
what
to have him in that gimmick.
What spotlight?
I mean, they had some spotlight when Kenny was the champ. They had a little bit.
They got fucking buried. Rich Swann was the worst Impact champion I've ever seen. Fuck Rich Swann. He was terrible.
Rich Swann. I remember him from the, 205 Live days? I think he had some good matches on the pre-shows of pay-per-view, if I'm not mistaken. All them guys.
He's good.
Gulak
he's good as
great,
a mid-card.
They all had great matches.
He's good at mid-card. That's the only place he deserves to be a mid-card, all right? They gave him the ball, he ran a mile, and he hit a fucking brick wall as world champion.
Are we going to do a WWE report this week, guys?
Yes. It's the Christmas edition.
Oh, God. I think we probably best get on that, huh? Look at the time. Holy shit.
Yeah, let's do that now. Merry fucking Christmas.
How does this fucking happen?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE Report. Swami?
Merry Christmas, you filthy animals. This is the holiday edition of the WWE Report. I got my fucking eggnog because I need to get, drinking eggnog to speak what the fuck happened these past shows on SmackDown and Raw. Let's begin with last week's SmackDown, right? There's only one thing to talk about from last week's SmackDown, and that was the bullshit spectacle. The two things, actually, on SmackDown. One, the Usos lost again. Fucking losers. They're just losers now, And you wonder why they didn't win Tag Team of the Year in the PWI, Illustrated. Because they're fucking losers. The New Day, what you expect? We're getting a match that's supposed to be in the pay-per-view for free. So why should anybody get excited for this match now? Why?
That's interesting that New Day won because, they're not even together. They haven't been together as a cohesive three-piece unit in forever.
They have.
So it's interesting that they won.
No, they have in live events and at the dark, but they also lose in that, so it doesn't fucking matter. The Bloodline are fucking losers. So, the Usos lost. So, the main event segment on SmackDown, right? Oh, man, this is great Oscar-worthy acting. Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns, right? The needle mover with the fucking T-shirt. Even though the ratings on SmackDown has been stagnation, it's been still 2.1. He hasn't moved even 2.5, so I don't know the fuck is the point of that fucking T-shirt. So, Roman Reigns asks Paul Heyman the same question since fucking SummerSlam. Did you know that Brock Lesnar was coming back from SummerSlam? Are you with Brock Lesnar? Can I trust you? Are you the wise man or the advocate? Why are you protecting Brock Lesnar?
He said, are you an advocate or are you a, what is this?
No, he said, the wise man or an advocate?
Oh, so he said it wrong? No, he said a special counsel or an advocate? Yeah, he said both of those.
Yeah, he said, I don't know, it's either or. I really don't care about Roman. Anyway, Paul Heyman says, I'm protecting you from Roman. And Roman gives him a hug, says he's fired. Superman punches Paul Heyman.
Here's what he said. He said, my tribal chief, I'm not protecting Brock Lesnar from you. And then he looks up and he like says a little prayer, right? And he comes back down and he says, I'm protecting you from Brock Lesnar. And so then that's when Heyman grabs him and he gives him a hug and shit and they have a little moment. And then he's like, Wise man. All fucking turning into like that guy that managed Undertaker and shit. Wise man. And then he says, wise man, you're fired. Well, first he tells him how, you know, he appreciates what he did for his family for the past 40 years and shit. But he goes on to fire the wise man. And then he leaves. And as he proceeds to leave, he turns around and gives him a Superman punch. And then he's directing traffic, gets a chair thrown in. He puts a chair under fucking Heyman's head. And he gets the other chair and he's about to fucking smash him and cue fucking Brock fucking Lesnar.
He beats the shit out of the Usos and Roman Reigns and oh my god, Paul Heyman's back with Brock Lesnar? No, you fucking idiots. Don't you realize that now it's obvious that Paul's gonna fucking turn on Lesnar and help Roman win now? What the fuck? It's so fucking obvious, man. It's obvious. It's so fucking obvious. Like, what the fuck? And this is how we're going to get their WrestleMania match, because of fucking bullshit shenanigans. Fuckery. Fuck.
That's going to keep going on from now to WrestleMania? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Because that's the rumored match. Brock versus Roman again at WrestleMania. Who the fuck would care at that point? Who would honestly give a fuck at this point? No.
I mean, we're going to find out because the last time they had a WrestleMania in Dallas, they had the most people ever at a WrestleMania. And they even had, Jerry Jones even fucking packed more people in there than he should have. And a section of fucking seating fucking broke down. I wonder how the lawsuits ended up there.
The reason why they have a fucking packed house is because they're giving away tickets for fucking free, Minister.
Where can I get
giving
mine?
Away tickets.
Get me
they're
some.
They're giving the tickets for free.
Get me some. I don't know about that. I don't know who told you that, Miss. But I digress. So let's see. Moving on.
Awesome.
What do we got?
We're on Raw right now. So we go to Raw, right? We go to the beginning Raw. They're obviously turning Bobby Lashley babyface, and I'm a little bit excited and scared about that, because in one hand, I'm scared and upset about it. I'm a mix of emotions here about it. In one hand, he could be a badass babyface to destroy people, but in the other hand, he could go back to the same babyface talking about his fucking sisters again, and I don't want to fucking see that shit again. That's why.
And they already brought it up, too. They brought it up the other night.
Yeah.
Somebody brought up his sisters.
Yeah, fucking Big E, the champion.
Oh, my God.
So speaking of that, fucking champion, the most overhyped, boring, fucking worst book WWE champion we've had in a while shows up, has a terrible promo, says you only won because of MVP, and then Bobby Lashley, I didn't even get this at all. Like this confused me. Bobby Lashley basically fed MVP to the fucking wolves. Like I don't know why to Big E, saying go ahead and fight Big E with the cane. And I'm like I'm confused. Like what the fuck? Why? Why are you punishing him? He helped you win. So Bobby Lashley stays outside, and then he gets jumped by two Caucasian men.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Finish there.
He gets attacked by two Caucasian men. I mean, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. They beat the shit out of Bobby Lashley, you know? And then they beat the shit out of Big E, but then when they're about to do the curb stomp to Bobby Lashley, Big E saves Bobby Lashley. Now, here's the thing, right? why the fuck are you saving one of your fucking competitors in your Fatal 4-Way match? He's one of your fucking enemies in this fucking match. He doesn't give a fuck about you. He doesn't give a fuck about your compassion or your cooperation. Why are you fucking helping him, you idiot? You're an idiot. So, yeah, that's the opening segment.
Here's what I think you're missing on that, Grasshopper. There's a lot of different layers going on there, man. And you're absolutely right. He's turning babyface. This is the process of him turning babyface. He's fucking throwing, the guy with the cane, MVP, out to the wolves and shit, as you said. And, you know, he's dismissing him. But the question is MVP going to have his back still?
No.
Because it's a storyline that's got some layers to it now. So, I mean, I'm digging the storyline.
I mean, I'm digging the storyline with Bobby Lashley.
I don't know who's going to win. Like, I don't know who's going to win this. Is it obvious that, I mean, is Kevin Owens going to win because he signed a new deal?
Fuck no.
Is Big E going to retain? Is that what you think is going to happen?
Obviously.
I mean, conceivably, Owens, even if they want Big E to go, you know, to have his WrestleMania moment or whatever, if that's what they're going to do. If they're going to usher him in, you know, into the spotlight at WrestleMania so that he can have his quote-unquote moment and shit, if that's what they're going to do, well, then, I mean, he could still lose the title to KO. I mean, they've got a shitload of pay-per-views between now and fucking WrestleMania.
Are we forgetting about Seth Rollins? There has to be a potential where he fucking wins it, too. Like,
yeah.
Seth is also...
There's that possibility,
like,
too.
Like... what about you guys' thoughts?
Yeah, do you guys think Big E's going to retain?
It's too hard to book this.
Oh, God.
Right now, but,
oh, God. Okay, here I am. I was on mute. Sorry.
Shit.
Yeah, you know what? interesting thing.
I think, like I said, man, I think that they're trying to shake. I think they're going to shake things up again. So I think that he's going to lose.
All right, what about you,
Al? They're
going to
team up, so they're going to lose. So that would leave Big E Bobby Lashley.
I got to watch Big E's 24 last night. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. I saw it with my cousin last night. It's actually a really, really, really interesting story about Big E and why... You know, it explains a little bit. It explains how he got to WWE. It explains his character. It explains a little bit about the New Day. It also explains why some people might find Big E a little bit boring. And, you know, not boring, but, like, say, for instance, oh, like, you know, everybody's kind of clamoring. Like, I wish Big E would just turn into a monster heel or turn on his New Day partners, whatever. And that's never going to happen. You know, because of, you know, if you watch the 24, it explains why they're never going to turn on each other, you know what I mean, or why Big E's not going to change his character. So as far as, like, Big E retaining, I don't really see him retaining, but I do see him as possibly a multiple, you know, multi-time champion, you know. But I see that, you know, there could be a clash between him and management, you know, as far as, like, you know, where his character is going. And, you know, kind of explaining that little documentary there, too, that maybe they want him to do certain things that he's not going to do. And because he's Big E, because he's part of the New Day, and the New Day is, you know, one of the biggest, like, merch movers, you know, in this past decade, you know, up there with, like, Jeff Hardy and Mysterio, you know, those three guys. I see them, like, you know, kind of butting – I see him kind of butting heads with management. You know, like, maybe they wanted to turn heel – maybe they want to turn like this monster heel, and he's just not into it. He's not like he's really adamant about playing himself. He's really adamant about, you know, not turning on his friends either. You know what I mean?
Because and he's
of,
got
you know,
him by the short and curlies. Yeah, and he's got him by the short and curlies because of the amount of merch that they move as a unit.
Exactly.
Sense.
So it kind of explains. It's an interesting documentary, and it kind of explains everything. I don't want to give away too much. I'm kind of like beating around the bush here about it. But, yeah, I don't see him. I see him possibly losing the title in a very big possibility of him losing the title mainly because, you know, there's certain things that you know, like I said, management might want him to do, but he's not going to do. That's just Big E.
So Bobby Trashley would be left. Yeah. Owens and fucking, you know, the other Caucasian guy, Rollins, are getting together, and then Big E's not going to win because, you know, he's going to stay as Big E and stuff. And so that means that Bobby Trashley gets attacked.
We're using a lot of different terms for white people tonight, aren't we? We're gringo, Caucasian.
Wow. That's a great point. Yeah, and it wasn't done on purpose either. It was not
using cracker. We can't use cracker. Like, no.
Okay.
That's too far.
So right afterwards, we had the first match of the show. We had Bianca Belair versus Doudrop. The final chapter. How the fuck can it be a final chapter when they only had two fucking matches against each other? Whatever. This feud fucking sucked, by the way. Spoiler alert.
We'll be talking about the next 6 months, bro. What are you talking about? They'll be fucking facing
That's how they listed it on their fucking YouTube channel and the highlight videos. The final chapter. That's how they listed it. So the match was not fucking special. It was not interesting. The only highlight was Bianca Belair lifting Doudrop up for her fucking finisher. That was the only noteworthy fucking thing on that fucking match. What the fuck was the point of this fucking feud? What the fuck was the point of turning Doudrop heel? What was the point of this?
She's the new Nia Jax, bro. And also, I mean, let's talk about my crush for Doudrop. And I hear they're changing her name, possibly. I mean, I'm upset about that.
Why did they let her slam her like that? Like they did it. They kind of alluded to it like a week or two ago. Like she couldn't quite pick her up, and then she like slammed her this time, and it's like they could have done that on a pay per view or made it a big deal. Like is that not a big deal to slam a big person anymore?
Man, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Holy shit, I couldn't believe they wasted that on a fucking Monday with day one coming up right around the corner. Man, that's just insane.
They ruined slamming a big person whenever Lex Luger did that to Yokozuna. He kind of ruined it.
We're actually PG-13ing this shit. They bastardized it, okay? They fucking bastardized this shit just the way they bastardized everything else.
Yeah. So up next we had Austin Theory versus Finn Balor. I could have sworn we saw this match again weeks ago. Boy, this fucking match was dog shit. This was boring. The only highlight again in this match was the Spanish Fly that Austin Theory did. That was the only impressive thing Austin Theory did in that match.
Wait a minute,
Austin Theory's fucking.
You didn't like it when, you know, the demon, when he jumped on him at the end? What is that move called? The fuck way he jumps on people? Yeah. You didn't like that,
That's his finisher. He always does that. There was nothing special about this match.
I know,
dude.
I know, man.
Yeah.
I'm liking the kid, and I'm interested to see what happens with this kid. What do you think is going to happen with him? Is Vince McMahon going to erase him? Or is he going
to
fucking put a rocket ship up his ass
to
the moon?
I'll get to that segment when I get to that, because that's a fucked up thing what happened. That's fucked.
Moving on.
Moving on, we have Miz TV. That's right. For some unknown reason, guys, they booked two talk show segments on Raw last night. Miz TV and The Cutting Edge. One is unbearable. Two is unfucking watchable. And guess what? Spoiler alerts. Both of them were fucking trash. Miz TV has AJ and Omos, right? They've been building for like weeks of Ada and Omos breaking up. My question is, why are they fucking? Why are they fucking breaking up? Why did they break up? What was the reason why they broke up? They never even established why Omos doesn't like AJ no more. Like, they never explained to us why he doesn't like him, why he doesn't want to be partners with him no more. They never explain it. It's never explained.
Last night I got, you know, a lot of hints that he's going to be under the tutelage of The Miz now. And I get that's where they're going. That's what I think that's going to happen. However, I can't stand that Omos. He's just fucking shit, bro. He can't talk. He can't move. I mean, like, he's just out there a big lump. And then, I mean, I was never a fan of fucking Andre the Giant. Let's get that clear right now. I did like reading about him, you know, later on after his death and stuff. I thought he was a great, big, jolly guy and stuff, man. And obviously he had his health issues and shit. I respect him and shit, but I was never a fan of him, okay? But for them to be fucking comparing him to Andre the Giant, I mean, man, that's a bunch of bullshit. He was the eighth wonder of the world, dude. I mean, how the fuck can he do that?
It happens every time. It happens with every big guy that they get compared to every other big guy. And there's very few that are actually good workers. There's a lot of big guys that suck.
If anything, Braun Strowman fits the category, though.
Braun Strowman was good, dude.
He was a lot better than fucking Omos is. I mean, shit, Omos he doesn't even know how to fall. He's fucking, you know, Nia Jax, Tamina type. Well, actually, they were both learning. Tamina's learning how to fall here lately. You know how they were, man.
I can think of like three guys, and that's Undertaker, Kane, and Kevin Nash, who are probably like guys who can actually work more than other big guys. Like every other big guy I think of that comes to mind, like, couldn't really work like those guys. I don't know.
They'll kind of just walk around in the ring. You know what I mean? They have like WWE has this thing where it's like, oh, we have a big guy. It's like Great Khali or something. All he needs to do is just fucking walk around in the ring and hit people. You know,
another terrible guy.
So
I don't get that AJ Omos thing at all, bro. I don't get it at all either.
I don't get it, and it gets more confusing after this match between the Mysterios versus AJ and Omos. AJ, it doesn't even last long. It lasts like fucking 1 minute or 2 minutes. Omos refuses to tag in to AJ, and AJ gets the roll up. Now here's the confusing part, right? Who the fuck is supposed to be the face and heel in this situation? Is fucking Omos supposed to be the baby face in this situation, or is it supposed to be AJ? Because AJ fucking badmouths Omos, saying I should have never taken you under my wing because you're trash. And then he starts attacking him, but then Omos attacks him and fights off. Who's supposed to be the fucking face and heel in this fucking feud?
I don't think they figured it out yet. I don't think they figured it. I don't even think they haven't figured it out yet. They're just like, they just know there's going to be a tournament.
They're probably
shipping old Uncle
Ellen
back to NXT. He's on his way back to NXT anyways, right?
I read something.
No,
at least for one appearance.
Yeah, he was on tonight. AJ Styles was on NXT tonight. I don't know why. They're so desperate because NXT is a fucking failure. And they had to bring AJ Styles in for one fucking night. But I don't. And then next week, we're going to have AJ Styles versus Omos on Raw next week. That's going to be fucking garbage.
Do you think they're going to drag that into the pay-per-view?
People are buying tickets to WWE events. I mean, obviously, right? How are ticket sales doing? People are going to see these matches. Like, even though it's repetitive shit on TV every week, why are they going to see this shit in person?
People are going, bro. I saw pictures of it the other day, and it was, like, empty. I don't know where the fuck they were at, but it was, like, they had a bunch of sections. Okay, you know how when we go to the Toyota Center and we sit right there on the we sit on the camera side, right?
Yeah.
But higher up, right? We don't sit down there on the very bottom, but we sit, you know. All right, so at least that's where I like to sit, right? I don't remember the section number. But anyway, the other side, typically Now, sometimes I sit on the other side because they release those tickets later on. But shit, bro,
the pictures
that I've been seeing lately of WWE, like, those sides are completely fucking closed. They might have the some cameras over there and shit like that, but they're, like, completely closed off to people. And, I mean, it's crazy. Like, there's a lot of people that are missing from those shows.
Yeah.
And they make it look like it's full because they only shoot that one side and shit, you know, and that is full. But the other side is, like, completely empty. And the top nowadays is almost always empty, at least at the, like, Raws and shit like that. Now, for pay-per-views, those usually sell. However, those have been going down in sales, too. I've been keeping up with that shit on, as far as, you know, articles on the way they're moving the tickets and shit, and they haven't been moving nowhere near as many.
I just mean, like, because I'm not rushing to buy a ticket to WWE, like, and I'm a wrestling fan, but if they come to town, I'm fucking skipping it. So who's buying tickets? It's just people taking their kids, and it's totally speaking to a different audience than us.
That's it. And then they pay for them a lot.
I'll tell you what, when we went to San Antonio, man, the Monday Night Raw then back in August, there was a good chunk of the second half of the AT&T Center that wasn't there. You know what I mean? Like the bottom part of the hard camera side was full, and then some of the upper decks, there were some seats there, but it wasn't completely full at all. And I remember, like, dude, back in the day, like,
it was cool,
2003
when
we went to SmackDown, it was completely packed.
Yeah,
it was like fucking crazy. You had it was when the NWO came back, and The Rock was there,
the
and it was just like,
shit.
Yeah.
I'd say even when
granted, it was
on
a smaller
SmackDown
one.
And Raw in like 2015, 2016, the Toyota Center was full, and I went to, they did it at the Verizon Wireless Theater for NXT one time, and that was like a huge like thing too. It was crazy. But no,
oh,
I mean, like,
man, I wish I could have gone to that one. I didn't find out about it until it was too late. Yeah. I was like, fuck, I didn't know they were in town, man. I would have gone. Because at the time, I liked NXT. So that was back when Seth Rollins and them were NXT, right?
No, I think it was like Finn Balor. The time that I went, Finn Balor was like coming up in the ranks.
Yeah, there you go. Christian, where were we?
We were at Ross, though. Up next, we had Randy Orton versus Chad Gable. And I'm sorry, I have made a mistake. Matt Riddle ain't fucking injured. For some fuck known reason, the Raw Tag Champ, one half is in NXT with MSK for some fucking reason. I don't know why. He's just in NXT right now with the fucking, I don't know why. Anyway, Randy Orton is facing Chad Gable, and this match didn't even last fucking long. The only cool thing that happened on the match was when Chad Gable took the RKO. That was sick. That was nasty. I liked it. Match ended. Chad Gable loses. Then Otis goes to the ring. Randy Orton tries to hit the RKO on him three times, but fucking fails. And yeah, that was the end of the fucking match. Moving forward, Tamina and the 24/7 shit. Stupid. Skip. Then we go to the segment, right? We go to this segment, this infamous segment that let a bad taste out of people's mouths. And this really makes me hate Vince McMahon even more. Austin Theory goes to Vince's office. He says that, I know I lost the match, but you saw I took him out. I beat the shit out of Finn Balor. So Vince McMahon, like, this man talks fucking gibberish now. You can't understand a word this motherfucker says.
Man,
I don't know why the fuck he's on TV. But
it's because they have board of directors they got to answer to, bro. That's the only reason.
Yeah. This is what he fucking says that got me pissed off. I enjoy firing people. I especially like to fire people during when it's close to the fucking holidays. Are you fucking crazy? Are you fucking crazy saying that shit?
This was crazy.
Writing that
this
shit?
Is surreal.
And he had an evil clown look. He had an evil clown.
It was
clown
a surreal moment. And, bro, doesn't Austin Aries look so much like or not Austin Aries, I'm sorry, Austin Theory. Doesn't Austin he look so Theory. Much like Brad Maddox, dude? He looks like a buff Brad Maddox, like a clone of Brad Maddox.
Damn, that's who he looks like. I was like, what the fuck does this guy look like?
speaking of Austin Theory, did you look at Austin Theory's face when he said that? I don't think that was even a fucking character. His character. I don't even think he was going.
It was great script. Acting.
He generally looked fucking uncomfortable when he said that.
That's how good
he is, bro. You think he didn't know what Vince was going to say, and Vince was like ribbing him, like saying it to get a natural reaction from him?
I think good that being. Was the case because he looked fucking awkward that he was in the same room after he said that shit. That was fucking uncomfortable. That was terrible. What the fuck is wrong with you saying that?
And then he went on then he brought up the fucking eraser deal and shit, and he started fucking erasing on the paper and shit. I thought that was fucking wicked, man. I loved it. It was vintage.
And then he blew it on his face. That was fucking cringe. That was cringe. What the fuck? That was uncomfortable. That segment was uncomfortable.
He's an old man,
it was
bro.
Fucking...
He's
it's
an
bad
old man.
Taste,
you gotta
bro.
Let him get away with it. You got to get
it's
him,
bad
you know, I mean, what are you going to tell him? What are you going to do? You going to abuse him? He's an old man. He's allowed to say and do what he wants.
I know, but that whole firing thing is fucking distasteful. That was bad taste. Especially in the fucking holidays. Watch, he actually does fire someone before the fucking holidays. Watch. What are your thoughts on it, Albert or Kevin? Like, fuck. It's madness. A lunatic.
Albert.
This is madness.
This is madness. This is, I'm mute again. Jesus Christ. Kevin, what are your thoughts on that?
I can't
talk to you. Go ahead.
Yeah,
the whole thing, dude.
You go ahead.
Oh, no, dude, it's just Vince McMahon trying to get heat off everything. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, obviously he knows that the internet's pissed off that they've been releasing a bunch of these wrestlers and shit. You know what I mean? So he's just trying to get heat off of it, man. He's trying to redo his Vince McMahon character a little bit. And maybe he got the bug to be back on TV, and maybe he shouldn't be because he's, like, well into his 70s at this point. But, you know, if he's going to come back and be on TV, I think the best way would be to help elevate a younger star. And I'm an Austin Theory mark, dude. I dig his style. I dig his fucking work. I know you're gonna beg to differ there. But if Vince McMahon is gonna come back and he's going to try to help elevate somebody, I'm all for it. And the whole thing, I mean, like, that's just – you know, he's just trying to get heat from firing people, dude. I mean, that's his fucking catchphrase. You're fired. You know what I mean? Like, he's been saying that shit for fucking years. So there's nothing new here. And then everybody's complaining online about, you know, Vince McMahon's an asshole. And, you know, but this is how he's always been. You know what I mean? He's working the fucking crowd. He's working the internet. He's working everybody right now. And that's what he wants to do. So fucking more power to him.
And then, here's the deal. Like, yeah, he's working everybody, right? But also, though, Christian does make a valid point, though. Yeah, I mean, he's a little old, man. He can't really understand. Like, you got to really be paying attention to him to understand what the fuck he's saying. Mm-hmm. At least I do. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I had to turn on the fucking, you know, to where the words come out and shit so I could fucking see what he was saying.
I agree.
In a few years, we'll be talking about how they're abusing, you know, because, I mean, we could already be talking about it technically, but, he's an old man, and maybe he probably shouldn't be on TV anymore. But at the same time, he's working the fucking people great. I haven't been on the internet in a while, but so he's working the fucking people really fucking badass, obviously, from what I hear. People are fucking hating
on it. It is just getting heat. It's like, it's not a work though. Like, he's being for real. Like, he's actually firing motherfuckers left and right.
It is what it is. He is who he is.
It is crazy. No, he's gone full heel. Like, he's viewed like a madman. Like, a couple years ago, dude, like, I think if there's several times where we've like talked about the bad things that Vince McMahon's done, but we've always had it like kind of like this like respect, and like in the last like year or two of him losing his mind, like we totally lost that. We're like, get him out of here, please get him out of here. Everybody's calling for that. So I don't know. I don't think he's the future of WWE. Let's put it that way. I think that, like I said, after Vince goes, it's all going to change. That's why I'm giving it like a 2-year time limit, because I'd hate to put a time limit on Vince McMahon. But like shit, like we can't have much more of this.
Yeah.
I don't mean like the guy's going to die. I'm just saying like get him out of here before then.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I have to say, I mean, I disagree with Albert on that. I think that. I think he's on TV only because of, you know, board of directors and shit. They're like, hey, man, the ratings aren't where they fucking need to be, man. We bring in the old man. And I just think that's how it is.
And it still doesn't work because they drew another record low, so it's not working. Get him off the TV.
Yeah, it's
anyway,
not working. In the end, it's not even fucking working, Christian.
It's not working. Up next, we have Damian Priest, the boring motherfucking U.S. champion. Versus Dolph Ziggler in a championship contenders match. Those boring fucking stipulation matches. And, the snapping thing again is fucking ruining Damian Priest, this fucking gimmick, because guess what? First he gets DQ at Survivor Series because of the snapping shit, and now he gets countered out with this snapping shit. Because he loses to Dolph Ziggler by a fucking count out, and now Dolph Ziggler is facing Damian Priest next week to face him for the title. I hate these fucking championship contenders fucking matches. I fucking hate them, dude. They either end by you either get a title shot by a fucking DQ or a fucking count out. And it doesn't make the champion look good, and it doesn't make the challenger look good. This is the worst fucking gimmick stipulation I've ever fucking seen. Nobody fucking looks good in this. Nobody, the champion doesn't look good in this. The fucking challengers don't look fucking good in this. This is the worst fucking gimmick shit I've ever seen. Get rid of it. This shit sucks.
You talking about Damian Priest?
No, I'm talking about this whole the championship contender match is bullshit.
Oh.
Like it does no one favors. Literally last week, Toni Storm was the number one contender. Literally 2 weeks ago, I mean, on SmackDown, Toni Storm became the women's number one contender because Charlotte Flair wouldn't stop beating the shit out of her with the 5 count. It's the same thing applies here last night. Where Dolph Ziggler only became the number one contender because of a fucking count out. It's dumb. The stipulation.
I'm not familiar with that.
I'm not familiar
with what's going on there.
It's just the women's division I haven't followed much, and like it's just WWE, dude. I watch whatever's like. I don't want to watch it. Let's put it that way. I'm trying to think of what I'd go out of my way to watch, and it's none of it, dude. I know we do a show. Like, do I have a?
Awesome.
Let me pose a question. Do we have a responsibility to watch WWE doing the show? Because I don't want to anymore. I'm tapping out.
No, man, we don't have. You don't have to watch it. You can, you know, you can just interject in the, I mean, you know, you just show
yeah.
up, man.
No, and I mean, like, so I don't know. I'm not super familiar with what's been going on other than, like, maybe just the top stories and the main event
yeah.
and stuff because they're not doing anything to garner my attention. So,
I mean, believe it or not, you know, I mean, like, I try to watch it. Right? Like, this week I found myself watching SmackDown at 6 in the morning on Sunday. Right, and
it's
that was the time
morning.
I had to watch. That was the time I had, right? And so I was like, "Fuck, let me put on SmackDown, see what the fuck." So I put it on and shit. And I mean, you know, and I do it because I'm a creature of habit, right? But just because I'm watching it, it doesn't mean that I'm watching the whole fucking thing. Because there's a lot of shit on there that it's a bunch of shit. And I mean, I'll have it in the background because, you know, when I'm watching TV, I've also got, you know, the phone in my hand or something else, you know. And I mean, like. I mean, that didn't sound too cool, but, you know, so,
yeah.
But, you know, I'm doing other things, man. It's not my main focus just to sit there and watch the whole fucking program. So yeah, I'm with Kevier. I just watch, like, you know, certain things. Other things, I totally focus out on them. And then I come here and I listen to Christian from Philly, and he's fucking talking about this shit. And I'm like, fuck, I didn't catch any of that shit. And it's because I wasn't focused on it, but probably because it's fucking dog shit. Because back in the day, like in the 2000s and shit, I remember clearly, like, I wanted to keep up with the fucking myth card just as bad as I did the fucking top stories. And so that's the fucking problem that I have with WWE. And they could do so
grievances.
Much fucking better. They could do so much
more
fucking
grievances
better.
Here.
They're capable of it. They're fucking capable of it. But they just fucking shit the bed every fucking time. And that's why I'm not in it fucking wholeheartedly. Otherwise, I would be. Like, I like that RK-Bro shit. And a bunch of the other shit they do, it's funny and stuff. Now, this whole Otis thing with Orton, and now he's got his own separate feud. I don't know what the fuck's going on there. They lost me. I don't know where, you know, the bro is at, but I guess I'll figure it out sooner.
He's at NXT.
How the fuck does that happen?
I don't know. They don't explain it. They don't explain why he's at NXT with the MSK, even though he's one half of the Raw Tag Team Champions. They don't explain it, Minister. They don't explain shit.
Yeah.
He's just
hanging
around with these two idiots. Anyway, we go to Miss TV. Yeah. We go to Miss TV with Maurice and Edge. Maurice is terrible on the mic. Get rid of her around the mic. She's terrible. She can't cut a promo. The fans fucking boo her. She says that Miz doesn't care about her. It's all fucking phony. Edge even
Didn't
calls it out
that
it's all fucking
phony. Didn't they do
this
before with someone else? But it was like Maurice also. Didn't she do some shit like this where she faked somebody out? I felt like I had seen that before, and it was just as bad then as it was last night.
It's happened a million times. It's happened a million times. We've seen this shit. Edge even says this is all a fucking lie. It's all a surprise attack. But even though Edge knows this is a surprise attack, he still gets surprised attacked. He still gets laid out by The Miz and Maurice. This feud fucking sucks. Nobody fucking looks good in this fucking feud. Nobody cares about this fucking feud. Who gives a fuck about this feud? Like, why are they even feuding in the first place?
Well, like, I'm telling you, they're going to bring in Edge's wife. They're setting it all up for fucking WrestleMania. That's why they're doing it.
Yeah,
they
but why
feel
is
like,
it seems
they
like...
feel like Miz and Edge is one of their highlight matches because of the names that they are. And then their wives,
yeah,
of course, bring that additional star power for them. You know, WWE.
Yeah, but why is Miz talking like he's an up-and-coming young star? Why is he saying, like, Edge is old? They're, like, almost the same age. They're both old men. Why is Miz talking like he's a fucking young rookie?
I don't know, guys.
He's a grizzled young bit. A grizzled young bit. No, it's weird. It's like I said, it just seems really out of place. It sticks out like a sore fucking thumb. It seems like a replay. It seems like a rerun.
Miz should fucking hear this shit and up his fucking game. Because, yeah, he's doing the same fucking shit. It feels like I've seen this shit from The Miz before, too, with other people. So, fuck, man. Change your game, Miz.
Mike,
don't be a goddamn one-trick fucking phony.
Mike, if you're listening, take Minister's advice here, Mike. Mike The Miz. We know he's listening. We know they're all listening right now.
So
that's why they get ideas for the shows, both AEW and WWE. They listen to Fatal 4-Way Radio, only on the World Generation Podcast Network.
Indeed. There you go. Albert, right on.
So we go to the next match, which is, you know, the same fucking match again. Selena Vega versus fucking Rhea Ripley without Carmella and fucking Nikki Ash. Rhea Ripley beats Selena Vega in a no-nothing fucking match. Nobody gives a fuck. Nobody cares. So
I
fucking
care.
Now
poor
we go
Nikki Ash is standing back there in the back, was looking like she's lost her fucking smile. I'm like, what happened? I feel so bad for
fucker.
Her. I don't.
This was her fucking idea. I fucking don't. This was her idea in the first place. This was her idea for the fucking character.
And Carmella, it was shocking to me that Carmella wasn't around. She's always around to, you know, announce that she's the most beautiful woman in WWE. I found it very shocking that she wasn't there.
Yeah. Now we go to the semi segment before the main event of the show, okay? Okay. This is fucking rough. Liv Morgan in the Becky Lynch segment last night's show was fucking horrendous. It was fucking terrible. It was terrible. Liv Morgan can't fucking talk.
I fell asleep during that, honestly.
Liv Morgan is fucking terrible. She's terrible in the mic, bro. She's awful. She sounds so robotic. She doesn't sound human, dude. She's terrible.
Like, she put me right to sleep, bro.
She came off like a fucking heel for some reason, which is fucking terrible. So she explains that she goes to Becky Lynch's private gym, but it was Becky's plan all along. She had one of her female students dressed up like Becky Lynch, and so Liv Morgan looks like an idiot. She couldn't tell the difference between fake hair color, and the real thing. She looks like an idiot. But she still fights off Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch comes out. She does her own terrible promo. Her promos are fucking garbage, bro. Becky Lynch can't talk for shit either. She can't talk for shit either. She's too Irish. I can't believe it's possible, but she's too Irish. Like, fuck me, woman. She's awful. Like, and she's still getting cheers from the crowd a little bit, so this heel run's a fucking disaster. Nobody's fucking booing her. Those are just piped-in boos.
She's from Dublin, yay. She's from Dublin.
It's
That's
horrible.
Why she sounds so Irish. You know what I mean? She likes
She
likes green soap, and she likes the candies in the pot of gold there.
In the potatoes. In the potatoes.
She's eating a lot of potatoes there, Mike. You ever seen that great Irish documentary film, Leprechaun 3, Back to the Hood?
This segment was fucking terrible. This feud's fucking terrible. Liv Morgan is awful in the mic. I can't stand Liv Morgan and her puppy dog eyes and her fucking crying and moaning and whimpering. I can't stand Becky Lynch and her fucking fake-ass coat, fur coat, and her terrible heel promo and trying to get a heel heat. I can't
Stop
stand
it.
This fucking feud.
That's it.
I'm telling you, man, she put me right to sleep, and I missed the fucking ending, just like that.
Nothing happened. Becky Lynch just left, and that's it. That was the whole segment. Fucking Liv Morgan throws the candle.
That's what Kitty Teixeira told me. She said nothing happened at the end. That's exactly
nothing
what she said.
Nothing happened.
Kevin went to sleep?
No, I'm just listening. I feel bad because I'm out of touch with WWE. Like, I feel like I didn't do my homework.
That's like the last half of the show, I'm always kind of like quiet in the corner, just like chiming in. You know what I mean? I feel the same way. I feel like we're here and our science experiments are like in class, and our science experiments fucking suck, and everybody else's science experiments like completely badass.
Christian did the work. Christian watched the show and he did.
I feel
he
like
put the work in and look at what it's done to the poor guy.
Spewing a bunch of fucking propaganda and fucking.
Like it's like,
he's being a fucking Democrat.
Say a lot. Let's make a New Year's resolution. At least let's do this. Let's make a New Year's resolution where we do the AEW report before the WWE report.
They don't do anything. She throws the candles and then she doesn't do anything with it.
Let's do the station ID.
Yeah.
Okay.
listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Come get on the train. If it ain't easy. All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Christian, yeah, nothing happened is what, that's exactly what the fabulous Kitty Teixeira said. She said, you didn't miss anything when I came to. I said, what happened on Raw? She said, you didn't miss anything. Nothing happened. They just, Becky Lynch left or something like that. So I was like, fuck, well, I guess I didn't miss nothing. And here Christian is confirming,
yeah.
Didn't miss nothing.
Didn't miss nothing. So we go towards the end of the main event. We go to the main event. It's the bullshit can they coexist tag match between Bobby Lashley and Big E versus Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. I think there was a botch ending where Seth Rollins was supposed to break up the pinfall and then they would lose later on in the match. But, you know, Bobby Lashley pins Kevin Owens anyway for the three. Before that, Bobby Lashley accidentally pins Spears Big E out of the match. So that's him after the fucking match. So that's all Big E did in the fucking match. The fucking champion is so an afterthought in this fucking build-up to this Fatal 4-Way. He's such a fucking afterthought. Big E is a fucking terrible champion. I'm going to say this every time as long as he's champion because that's what he is. He's fucking awful.
You've been saying it every time.
He's worse than Kofi at this point because you know who the crowd gave a fuck in this match? Fucking Bobby Lashley. They didn't cheer for fucking Big E. They barely cared about Big E.
Yeah.
They were chanting Bobby Lashley's fucking name.
Well, I mean, fuck he what you expect, bro. The way they booked him last week to beat off all them badass top dudes. You know, I mean, yeah, the fans are going to fucking cheer for him. I mean, you know, this is where we're at. They fucking, I don't know if they did it inadvertently or what the fuck. They probably don't even know what the fuck they're doing. But yeah, that's where we're at.
Yeah, so Big E gets his ass, he gets speared, and that's accidental spear. That's it for him for the rest of the match. Bobby Lashley wins for the tag match. Then Seth Rollins and Bobby Lashley beat the shit out of Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens beat the shit out of Lashley first. Then they take out Big E with the steel steps. Big E, again, the world champion, gets laid out like a fucking schmuck, again, and doesn't do jack shit. He gets beat up, and then Bobby Lashley gets curb stomped with the steel steps, and Big E didn't do jack shit. Again, they end the show again with Big E on the fucking floor outside of the ring with holding his fucking ribs. He's the world champion, and every week he looks weaker and weaker and weaker. Fuck this title run. I hope he fucking loses the title. If not, fuck it some more, because chances are, and I think I know, speaking, the fans are going to fucking turn on this fucking guy. Because guess what? His title run is bullshit, and the fans are going to fucking turn on him because he's booked like a fucking bitch.
I mean, yeah, the proof is in the pudding. We don't even have Kanye watching it anymore. I mean, it's just Big E, he's booked exactly like fucking Kofi last week. And I think it's true what Christian is saying, man. I think he's even booked worse than Kofi. I mean, so, yeah, man. I mean, but at the same time, though, I think that the guys are happy with what they're getting, obviously. I mean, I don't know. And then, like Kevier says, I mean, they're such brand movers that, you know, I mean, it's probably a give-and-take relationship with them in WWE right now. And who knows? But they look like they're very content. And then, of course, Xavier Woods with that up, up, down, down, you know, channel. That shit.
It kind of was just on strike
sure,
with that channel.
That belongs to WWE now. Like he doesn't have any of. He has like a small slice of that compared to what he had and what he would have if it wasn't.
Yeah, so he's on strike. He doesn't
that's
even
why,
have that no more. He's on fucking strike.
Wow.
It's such a bad decision on her part because Zelina Vega's thing was close to what his was inside. Like Zelina Vega could have had a big Twitch following, and they still do, I guess, but WWE gets the money.
Man, those are
so
bad deals.
So if like, he won't fucking give in. He won't give them money because he's not getting paid. So he's on strike. He's not going to do no new content on the channel. So, yeah. So fuck Big E. Fuck the New Day. I'm sick of all of them. I'm sick of Kofi. I'm sick of Xavier. And guess what? The fans
got
are
it.
Sick of them too because they rated them low. In the top three tag teams on SmackDown and WWE, they were the lowest rating in the fucking poll, in the Twitter poll last week, 2 weeks ago. They're sick
that's
of one. They're sick of the
that's,
New Day at this point. Everyone's sick of the fucking New Day.
Everyone's sick of the New Day. I don't know.
Yeah.
I like Xavier Woods. I like Xavier Woods.
I like Xavier
it
Woods,
sucks,
too,
though, what
but...
they did to him. With that whole thing with the crown and shit. Now all of a sudden, he's wearing the crown again. Actually, I don't even agree with that shit. I mean, they completely
it's
bastardized that crown.
Stupid.
Oh, yeah, and then the crown itself is fucking ridiculous, just like Zelina Vegas's crown. I thought Sheamus' fucking crown was ugly. These fucking crowns are weird, man. But I digress. Is that all we got
that's
tonight?
That's it for them. Yeah, that's all we got tonight.
That's all we got tonight, guys.
I gotta.
I'll close myself out
first.
I think you forgot something, guys. Before Uh-oh. You go, Chuck and Albert and Christian, don't forget Christmas time is your favorite
that's...
wrestler's favorite holiday. Miss me, Mick Foley, everybody. Happy
Nick.
Holidays. And Merry Christmas.
I thought it was Paul Bearer.
Sorry.
Is that Paul Bearer? Oh, hell.
Have a nice day.
Oh, Mick Foley. Yeah, I hear it now.
Fuck you, Mick Foley. Fuck you, Mick.
Oh, shit.
Nobody fucking... You're fucking... Fuck you, Mick. You're fucking irrelevant. The only reason why people fucking remember your fucking sorry ass is because you got thrown out of the fucking
Santa
stuff.
I love
yeah, go fuck yourself.
Oh, hell. Stop it.
Hey, where's my sock? Where's my... Okay. You're getting a lump
of
gold this year, Christian.
Mick Foley told the craziest story, one of the craziest stories I ever heard, and I heard it on the talk radio station here, 610, and he popped in this was a few years ago, and he was doing that tour that he was doing, you know, where he goes around sitting and talking to people and shit. And he said that he had shown up late, right? He had shown up late. But the reason he showed up late was because he had stopped at some porn star's house to, you know, make a donation to her. So I thought that was, it was a really funny story, man. I need to find the audio and check it out.
That's not a true story. Santa Claus would never do that. Boys and girls. I'd like to bring out Minister Sinister's third grade teacher.
Oh no, Miss Simpson.
Fuck you, Mick Foley. Okay, anyway, I gotta go. My phone's about to die, so I'll close myself out first. Thank you, everybody, for listening in to Fatal 4-Way Radio. It's been me, Christian from Philly. Happy holidays to everybody. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Tune in next week for the predictions for Day 1 Atrocity.
Uh-oh.
So that's what I'm going to fucking call the Day 1 Atrocity 3. Until then, good night, everybody. Happy holidays. God bless you all. Happy New Year.
Ladies and gentlemen, Christian. All right.
All right. Well, yes. Thank thank you again for another year of the podcast, guys. I don't know if this is where we are. I think we already celebrated our year anniversary, but, you know, here we are wrapping up the fiscal year and our, or whatever, I don't know, end of the quarter. I got a few words for
friend here.
New
season starts 2 weeks, new season.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah,
well, I want you all to bundle up this Christmas because it's going to be a stone cold one. And I want you to sit by the fire with your dog like me here with Hershey and just crack open a nice eggnog. Crack open a fucking eggnog and don't take shit from nobody. And Dilly Gap and there's one other one. What did he used to say? Okay, anyways. Yeah, that'll take out. Merry Christmas. Anyways.
Great Christmas, guys. See y'all next week.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin West. Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. So, Albert, close yourself out, my friend.
Hey, it was good. It was good having the complete show tonight. I know it came back last week, but tonight felt like it was more homey. And thank you guys for everything. Thank you guys for for reaching out and all the support you guys all gave me during my troubling times here. And hell yeah, man, I'm looking forward to another year with you guys and to push this show even further and to get us another 5 listeners. And
yes.
Let's fucking do it. Right?
5 more.
And we still got one more show for the year,
more.
Right?
Yeah, we got one more next year, next week.
Yeah, one more show for the year. Let's finish it out strong. Maybe I can get a special guest for us next week, but we'll see.
Sweet. Ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas from Albert and Spectre. So, yeah, guys, we made it through another year filled with Christmas cheer, hopefully, for everybody, and hopefully you guys don't get any coal in your stockings. But, yeah, thank you so much for listening to us all around the world. Everybody, Festivus for the rest of us comes up on the 23rd. Don't forget that. Air out your grievances with everybody. Because fuck it, they need to be told. People need to be fucking told they're assholes. If you got an asshole in your life, the 23rd, that's when you tell them, hey, man, stop being such a fucking asshole. But hey, guys, until next year. No, not next year. Till next week. Keep it real. Keep it heal. And as always, keep it sexy. Peace, motherfuckers. Christmas time.
This has been a presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.